You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. Britt, that was one quick series, considering how good the ball was. To some extent, it's kind of obvious. It was just one play here and one pitch there. But from the Orioles' perspective, what happened in the ALCS?
Well, I think they just ran up against a team that was hotter than they were. I mean, Buck has said it all year that getting to the postseason is one thing. Winning in the postseason is completely another. It really comes down to, especially over the course of a baseball season, you have a first-place team that at times looks unbeatable and at times looks like they're never going to win another game. The ebbs and flows of how long that season is. The postseason is so short that if you don't play like the hottest team, you're done. And basically the Orioles were playing a Royals team that could do no wrong. They made all the plays. They made outstanding defensive plays, took away several hits. They were able to pitch well, and they didn't make any mistakes. And I think that's key. There was really no momentum for them to build on because the Royals really never let their guard down. And there's been a lot of talk about whether the Orioles should have played more small ball, but really the way this team was constructed, it was hard to change who they were. They won 96 games, 99 if you count the three against Detroit in the sweep in the first round. It was hard to all of a sudden change what had made them so successful.
Is it fair to say, and this may be a dumb question, but I also know that when a season ends bitterly, it's tough to sort of have perspective. Is it fair to say that within the organization, this is considered a really successful year despite the ending?
Absolutely. When you look at the trio of all-stars they were missing, the fact that they were able to win the AL East for the first time since 1997, I think you have to look at it as a positive. The fact that a good group of their core should be coming back and returning. I think if you're an Orioles fan right now, you're encouraged about what's to come. You like the future. You like where this team is at, as unsettling as it was to watch that four-game sweep.
Which kind of leads into my next question, and I don't know how it felt there, but I think around baseball 2 years ago, you wouldn't necessarily have called it an aberration, but it didn't necessarily seem like this was the beginning of a run. A lot of things came together. It felt more like this year really was kind of maybe the beginning of something. Do you think that's an accurate characterization, that there are pieces in place to do this for a few years in a row?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like you said, they were really lucky in 2012. A lot of things went their way. They had a negative run differential for a while, and this year was more of a, this is a good team, and this will continue to be a good team. And that's why I think they're encouraged, because really they had those injuries. Like I mentioned, guys were able to step up and fill in. It's scary to think of what this team could have accomplished had they had Manny Machado, Chris Davis, Matt Wieters healthy and with them all season. So it really looks like this organization, this ball club, is headed in the right direction for the next few years.
There are a lot of questions for this club going into the winter, some roster-wise and some injury-wise. I think it's fair to say that there's not much bigger than Manny Machado. What is your understanding of where he's at right now, what the winter looks like for him, and to the extent that it's knowable, what the spring looks like for him?
Well, they're hoping right now that he's ready for spring training, but that's what they said last year, and he missed the first month of the season. So you just don't really know, I think, until you get down there in February, until the Orioles can kind of get their arms around where he is in terms of where he should be. But he's been in Sarasota. He's been doing all his rehabs. But I do think that they need him, certainly, to be successful in the future. Signing J.J. Hardy to that extension keeps Manny Machado at third base for the time being. But they're not going to know, really, whether he can be Manny Machado again, I think, until much later in the wintertime. There hasn't been a whole lot of updates. He seems pretty optimistic the last time we saw him, which was during the Orioles' first series, division series against the Tigers. He was introduced throughout the first pitch, and he had hoped to kind of get involved in some kind of running, some pool running, things like that. So still really, really early in the process. But they hope that, this guy's 22. Hopefully he can bounce back. But this is two consecutive season-ending knee surgeries, so it's going to take some time.
And how about Matt Wieters? What's your understanding of his process, where he's going to be in the spring, and what 2015 looks like for him?
Well, he's further ahead. He's been aggressively rehabbing. I think he's a guy who is expected to be a full go in spring training. That was part of the reason why they made the move to have that season-ending surgery as early as they did. They were already looking at next year. And obviously, it's a big year for him. It's the last year he signed under the Orioles. I don't think it's obviously a time to explore an extension for him. They want him to be healthy, but they do plan on having him. And he's been a huge part, obviously, of what they've been able to do. And I don't think people realize how big he was to this year's success. I know he played in less than 30 games, but he was with the team all year. He was helping Caleb Joseph and Nick Hundley. He even went and scouted Detroit for the organization when they knew they could potentially be playing them in the first round of the postseason. So it really speaks volumes about the kind of guy Matt Wieters is. And the organization would like to keep him around, obviously, but you just never know how those things are going to go. But they do expect for him to be ready day one of spring training.
What does the rotation look like for next year? I mean, there are a lot of guys are back. Don't know how, maybe how Bundy fits into that next year. You don't know how Ubaldo fits into that next year. What does that kind of look like as they go into 2015?
The good news is it doesn't look like they're really losing anybody. They're going to pick up Wayne Penn's option. It's pretty much a no-brainer. So he'll be in that rotation. Chris Tillman, Bud Norris, Miguel Gonzalez, all these guys figure to be in that rotation again. Ubaldo has to be, I think. They're paying him a lot of money. He's in the first year of a, multi-year deal, so he's got to be in that rotation as well. Dylan Bundy, I think, could factor in. Kevin Gausman is definitely a guy who, you can make a case, is going to be in that rotation next year as well. So there's going to be a lot of competition, which is exactly what Buck wants. When he first came here, it was very much a last man standing type of competition. Now there are going to be some good guys that aren't going to make the starting five, barring injury or anything like that. So they feel pretty good about where they are. I think they probably signed a starter or two. Nobody even close to the kind of money Jimenez made. I think that kind of scared an already wary ownership away from those big deals for pitchers. And again, they don't really need it. But I think that rotation is really shaping up to be a strength for them.
If there was one knock on this club as an October club, I think maybe it was that absence of that real power front two or three in the rotation. It was a very good, deep regular season rotation. It sounds like you're saying they don't necessarily intend to make any big moves. Is there some view that maybe Gausman grows into being that second guy at the front of the rotation, or is that not really a concern? Are they fine with that sort of very good, deep regular season rotation?
He could grow into that. Well, so could Chris Tillman, who's still 25 or 26, still fairly young. One, there's nobody out there that would really fit the Orioles bill. And two, when you look at the payroll, if this team brings everybody back, which they're not going to, you account for all the raises and such, you're looking at $158 million payroll. Now, the Orioles aren't going to spend that kind of money. So you are going to have to get rid of guys. You're going to have to determine what to do. And that's not going to include adding another pricey free agent starter. Especially, like I said, when you saw what happened with Jimenez last year, it's going to be a tough sell to say, hey, let's throw all our money at another starting pitcher. I just don't see it happening. I think they're fine the way they are.
And that leads into my next question, which is that there are two real core pieces of the offense who are at least somewhat questions for next year, one a bigger question than the other, I would think. Nick Markakis and Nelson Cruz, what do you see in the future for those two guys?
I think Nick Markakis is going to stay in Baltimore. I know the two sides seem pretty amicable about that. They're pretty much on the same page. They do plan on having those conversations pretty soon, is what I was told recently. So no one is too worried that they're going to lose Nick Markakis. Nelson Cruz, on the other hand, wants a 4 or 5 year deal, is what his camp is saying early. So Cruz, who obviously just switched agents not that long ago, is probably going to cash in. Now, are the Orioles going to take a risk on a guy who's 34 years old to sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal? I don't think so. If it comes down to a 2 or 3 year deal, potentially yes. I know they really liked him. He was a veteran. He was a guy who had some of the better at-bats on that team. But I just, again, think that somebody is going to give Nelson Cruz a lot of money, a lot more money than Baltimore can, and I think ultimately he'll probably end up signing somewhere else.
And you addressed this a few minutes ago, but if there was one other thing that sort of seemed like it might get exposed in the postseason this year, and to some extent it kind of did, it was the lack of sort of multiple ways to do things on offense. And I like home runs as much as anybody. I think it's a great way to score, but they didn't get on base a lot. It wasn't just that it was a power offense, it was that they really didn't do much of anything else. what do they intend to do to sort of diversify the offense, whether it's just by getting on base or speed or really any other way to kind of score other than the home run?
Yeah, I thought a guy like Quentin Berry making the postseason roster could have helped them a lot. He's a guy that I think they're trying to keep in the organization. But in terms of making these guys be more patient, I think the current group, it's hard to do. Part of the reason you like Adam Jones is part of the reason he often drives you crazy when he has three pitch at bats that end in a swinging strikeout on the ground. You know, it's just too late to change these established major league players and to change the way they approach things. Now, could they go out and get some guys who are better at on-base percentage? Second base, for example, could be an area that they feel like, all right, let's go and see what we're going to do here. What are they going to do with the DH role if they don't re-sign Nelson Cruz? Are they going to sign another guy who hits a lot of home runs, or are they going to make sure he's a little bit more well-rounded because they have other power guys? There is definitely room for them to get better in that category, but it's kind of a tall task, and it's something that Dan Duquette has mentioned the last few winters they've really been unsuccessful at. And I think they had hoped that David Lowe was going to be that guy, was going to help them do some of those things. He didn't have the offensive year that anybody really saw coming. So that's another area to watch as well. Do they decide, hey, let's go upgrade in left field if Cruz isn't coming back, because they were really disappointed with what David Lowe was able to do. But all in all, I think this team and the crux of the team is going to continue to be that home run team, that power-laden lineup. There's not a whole lot you can do to change that now. But again, I think there are certainly ways for them to improve and them to supplement that lineup going into next spring.
All right. Well, Brittany Giroli, thanks for taking some time here to chat on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
The most popular way to follow every pitch of the postseason is with MLB.com At Bat, the number one mobile app for live baseball. At Bat brings you live postseason baseball wherever you are with dynamic features such as live radio broadcasts, replay reviews, scoreboards, highlights, stats, series schedules, and more. Get the award-winning MLB.com At Bat app for your favorite smartphone or tablet. Visit the App Store or MLB.com today.